Father, we have just been in a place where we could just speak the name of Jesus, declare His mighty name above every other name. What a joy to know that grace and truth has come through Your Son Jesus. And You have released grace and truth here this morning into our lives, and we're stepping in and we're standing in it and we are growing in it. And we want to thank You that by the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth that is in Jesus Christ, we can rely totally on Your Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth and into the reality of grace that is in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, the Son of the living God. And we thank You for that. We want to thank You, Holy Spirit. You know, with this incredible word, You are the Spirit with Your sword, to be able to cut and pierce and separate and divide all the junk, all the rubbish that has contaminated us, that has diluted our faith, that has messed us around and brought confusion and unbelief and all the stuff that somehow or the other seems to take hold of us. But today, because of You, Jesus, because of grace being released to You, because of You, Holy Spirit, ministering to us, we can find a freedom, because where You are Lord, there is freedom. And we want to thank You that as we experience truth this morning, in a mighty way, we will begin to experience the reality and the life of Your word when You said truth sets us free. And we want to grow into the freedom that we have in You, Jesus. We want to live in the freedom that we have in You, Jesus. So we want to thank You, Father, for the incredible good news of Your Son and how You have released grace and truth through Jesus Christ. What a privilege we have to experience, to live in these days, to be able to live in grace, to live in truth for Your honor and for Your glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm not sure where we're going to end up today or where we're going to begin. So let's start. I want to share a little bit on the Holy Spirit and grace. And to see there that when Jesus came and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, the incredible reality of Holy Spirit in understanding how the Holy Spirit and how the grace that comes through Jesus Christ becomes real in our lives on a moment by moment, daily basis. And so we want to share a little bit, and part of this morning is understanding the reality of the Holy Spirit, grace, and the kingdom of God within us. Because that's the grace realm that we have entered into and is where we stand. And so it's important for us to get a little bit more insight on this. The first scripture I want to go to is in Zechariah, and in chapter 4, when, remember, Zerubbabel was leading the people that have come out of captivity, and they have been commissioned to rebuild the temple, and that's their commission, and it's a huge task. There's opposition, there's the enemy, there's disillusionment, there's all of this that's operating over there, and they have arrived into Jerusalem, and now they've got to start rebuilding this temple. And it's like, how are we going to ever do this? And so, in the incredible goodness of God, there's an encounter that Zechariah has, and he then begins to share this with Zerubbabel. And so here in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So straight away, humanly speaking, he has an impossible task. We're small in number. We've got all the opposition. It's impossible from our own abilities to be able to do what you've called us to do. So there's the mandate that God has given to the people, and this mandate can only be fulfilled in the power of the Holy Spirit, not by human effort. So the Great Commission can only be fulfilled in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, not by human ability. Our mandates that God has called and set us upon our lives can only be fulfilled not in our own ability, but in the ability of God the Holy Spirit. And this is where grace is so, so important, because the grace of God, again, is God's ability that we now experience by the Holy Spirit. And so we cannot separate Holy Spirit and grace. And so here we see, right in the beginning, to be able to achieve this mighty work is not by might, nor by but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And then in verse 7, what are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? So what are you, O mighty mountain? Whatever this impossible task that lies ahead on their God-given mandate, what are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel, before the anointed, before the children of God who are in the realm of this incredible grace? You will become level ground. Then we will sing, we'll bring out the capstone, the complete work, to shouts of grace, grace. God's grace upon God's grace. And so here we see the reality that here in the Old Testament, the small group of Jewish people are now involved in something that is bigger than themselves, beyond their ability, and they completed the task in an incredible, miraculous way. And they could come and say, but it was because of grace, grace. The Holy Spirit and grace all go together. Cannot separate Holy Spirit from the grace of God, because it's God's ability, God's power that's operating in their lives. And so we see throughout the Old Testament, we see in Jeremiah where the promise of the new covenant, I will remove your heart of stone, I will put a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit in you that will move you to obey. So we see again in the new covenant context, the promise of a new covenant, all the time Holy Spirit is being mentioned. And then we see, for instance, examples of where Jesus comes now, as we looked at John 1 verse 14 onwards there, and we saw over there that the grace, the fullness of grace and the fullness of truth has come through his Son Jesus Christ. And so we know that in whatever God has called us, we know what it is now as a child of God in Christ Jesus. We know that grace operates only through Jesus Christ. Truth, he is truth. Truth only, we walk in truth only when it comes through Jesus Christ. So we know that at the moment we are stepping out of our total reliance on Jesus, our total reliance on the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth, and we're going into our own human effort to try and conquer certain things in your life, we know then that we are not moving in grace. We are trying in our own ability, our own willpower, our own all of this, to try and do things that are impossible because of the reality of the body of sin that operates within us. It's still very, very real. So we are needing a higher power. We are needing a higher reality to be able to set us free from that, so that we can live in Christ Jesus, in the reality of his kingdom and his kingdom within us, the realm of grace that we have access because we've been born again by the Holy Spirit. So we see there, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, what's happening over there? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is from the prophecy of Joel being released. So again, you see Holy Spirit is all in connection with this new covenant. And the Holy Spirit, His ministry is to take the grace that is in Jesus, the truth that comes through Jesus, the grace that comes through Jesus. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to apply that to our lives for us who believe. And for you and I to be able to experience the law of the Spirit of life. Because that sets us free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so that's what we've been looking at over a long period of time when we have been dealing with these things. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees that's busy accusing him from having power from Satan to do what he is doing. And they're saying that this power of Jesus is from a demonic origin. And Jesus now begins to give truth to the situation. And so he says that, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he has divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? Now, and if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So here we see straight away when that man came to Jesus, John chapter 3, and said to Jesus, you know, you're a good man, who are you from, you're a good teacher, etc. And Jesus starts to speak to him and starts to say, but you need to be born again by the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not born again by the Holy Spirit, you're not able to enter the kingdom, you're not able to see the reality of the kingdom. So, unless you're born by the Holy Spirit, we are not able to be able to live in the reality of the kingdom of God. And so, we're starting to see here that Jesus, grace and truth, come through Jesus Christ. And here we see the Holy Spirit's ministry, because of grace and truth being revealed through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's ministry over here is profound, because now we see here that, but if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you, was amongst you. So Jesus is saying, because of the Holy Spirit's ministry, now you can know that the kingdom of God is operating here. Important. Let's carry on. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 16, Luke 17. And again, they're asking him about the kingdom of God and etc. And the Pharisees are wanting to know when the kingdom of God would come, because they were looking, the whole Old Testament was prophesying about the Messiah that's going to come and rule. And they were looking at a physical king to come and rule from the line of David. And so here Jesus is again helping them and correcting them. And they asked, when would this kingdom come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observations. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. And the challenge that the Holy Spirit asked is, this grace that we've entered into as a believer because of the gift of righteousness, it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit that makes it very real. And he said, can you recognize my kingdom within you? Can you recognize my kingdom within you? That's a very deep, deep question. Because it begins to open up what grace is all about that's operating within us. Can we recognize the kingdom of God? The manifestation, the life of the Holy Spirit within us. When Paul speaks about the reality in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and he speaks about there that we lack nothing. God's grace has provided everything for us. We have been enriched in every single way because of this grace that it comes through Jesus. Can we experience the kingdom of God, the reality of us being enriched in every way, in all our speaking and all our understanding? See, so I had to go back to before I was born again. And once again, just to recognize my life before, the control that sin had over me before I got born again by the Holy Spirit, before I entered into the kingdom, before the kingdom of God came into me because of Holy Spirit, because of the King within me, I began to have to look back and I had to recognize I was pretty trapped. I could recognize my abilities and understand so much of where I was and who I was as a person. And then I began to recognize, but I can start to see your kingdom within me. Because I can start to see the fruit of your kingdom in my life. I can start to recognize this power of yours that has set me free from the power of sin. I began to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in enabling me to think differently, to be able to speak differently, to be able to live differently. And sometimes we need to have that kind of a Holy Spirit stock take, where we suddenly, but can I recognize your kingdom? Because our faith gets established more when we start to see, but God, I recognize the Holy Spirit's mighty power working dynamically within me. I see your life in me. I see the change. I see the transformation taking place. I see the areas where I struggle. I'm starting to see how your kingdom, the rule of your kingdom, the manifestation of your kingdom is so, so tangible in my life. And so again, the Holy Spirit asks us, do you recognize the kingdom of God within us? That's quite a, you'll see. Because you'll explode in worship. You'll explode in the truth of grace because you're just so overwhelmed with this incredible gift of righteousness and the grace that has come because of what God has done. You explode in grace because you realize that that's who I was. And boy, if it wasn't God's interaction and how He touched my life, that was who I was. And I can't even imagine the consequences of all that would have come in my life. And now you realize, but God, it was you that drew me, you that called me into fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ, so that in Him I could receive everything that He has done. That I can share in His sonship. I can share in His incredible life and victory. And that becomes our reality. And there worship explodes because you realize, and we're starting now to appreciate, to recognize grace. We're starting to value grace. We're starting to say, wow, God, thank you. And we're acknowledging God's grace all the time. And as we're acknowledging and we're recognizing the involvement of our Heavenly Father in our lives, the more we get established in it, the more we're depending on it, the more we start to find we're getting rooted in the incredible way that our whole life as a child of God is in this incredible place of living in the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. It cements that. It establishes that in our lives. So we need to be rooted in these things. So when we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, let me quickly go there, and then we go into Galatians chapter 5 after that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read it slowly because there's so much here. This is Simon Peter who's writing now to the body of Christ, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. To those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith. Powerful. Can you see the God faith, the gift of faith? Because of the righteousness that we have received. So here we see the whole story that we looked at last Sunday, the journey into this place of grace. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. And this word precious is so crucial because it's bringing us to value this gift of faith. It's truly a precious gift from God. And that's why he's helping us to get free from a religious faith and all that kind of stuff, and to know this pure, 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 pure life-giving gift that he has given to us, that we can live in faith, we could grow in faith. It's through faith that we have access into this grace in which we now stand. And that's what we're busy with here. And so then he carries on and he says, grace and peace be yours. Powerful. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge, the intimate relationship of knowing him, of God and of our Jesus our Lord. So once again we see the incredible truth that we're looking at there, where the Holy Spirit begins to open us up so that now you and I are able, through the knowledge of him, through the intimacy of knowing him, we are able to receive the abundant grace, the abundant peace that comes through Jesus Christ and by our Heavenly Father. We're trying to bypass Jesus. We're stepping out of the abundant grace that God has given to us, his involvement in our lives. Okay. And then he carries on and he says, now look at this. His divine power, this is grace. This is Holy Spirit. This is the power of the cross. Everything that Jesus has done, he is the power of God. Everything that our Lord Jesus has done, now the Holy Spirit makes it known to us. His divine power comes through this grace now by the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge, the intimate knowing of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, his incredible promises, through this divine power, through this grace and truth that has come through Jesus by the Holy Spirit, through all of this, we have been, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So, can we recognize the kingdom of God within us? Because the kingdom manifesting is this reality that we experience by his divine power. He has given us everything that we need to live as a child of God. I don't think we've learned to receive grace as God wants us to receive grace. Our man-made plans and our man-made theologies and our man-made philosophies and all that kind of stuff keeps us out of grace. Everything, we are complete in Jesus Christ. Everything that you and I need to live as a son, as a daughter of our Heavenly Father. Everything that we need to be able to live as the reality of what it is to be a child of God, we have already been given. We have Holy Spirit within us. We have it all. And then he says over here, he therefore, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and it carries on, so that we can become more effective in our knowing him and so forth. Now let's conclude a little bit as we spend some time in Galatians chapter 5. You know, here where we went to that Zechariah, and there we saw something profound taking place, where this huge task was lying ahead, and God spoke to the prophet, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And then they will come out and say, but it's been the grace of God, you've helped us. And they're acknowledging and worshipping God for his involvement and his ability. Paul is speaking about his ministry in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he's speaking about, verse 10, he's speaking about his ministry, and he says something profound, and he says over there that I work harder than any of the other apostles, because I did not take the grace of God in vain. And with the grace of God on my life, that enables me to be able to work harder than anybody. See, he knew, because he was an apostle of grace. He knew the reality of how to live, how to labor, how to do his ministry, how to live day-to-day life, because he knew how to allow the grace to be working in his life. And as we looked at last Sunday, one of the areas, faith, we enter into this grace. Humility, acknowledging our dependence on him. Now we're looking at the Holy Spirit's ministry. And so here we see in Galatians chapter 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again by yoke of slavery. And then he starts to speak about, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. Are you trying to be justified by law? You have alienated yourself from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But if we eagerly await through the Spirit of righteousness of which we hope, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value, but only thing that counts is faith being expressed through faith. So here we just see, before we get further on there, that Paul speaks about, but by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. Remember what faith is? We live in the reality of what we don't see in the natural, but we know it's very real. So although we have received the gift of righteousness, there's a day when we leave this planet Earth and we experience into the fullness of this incredible gift of righteousness as we eagerly await. And the Holy Spirit testifies and enables us to experience the reality of the substance of this righteousness that we have given. We have been given. And then he carries on about not being misled, etc. And then in verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Are we seeing the kingdom of God working within us? You see, because the kingdom of God, this is the reality of the work of the kingdom of God within us. Let's change this a little bit. So if we do not live by the Spirit, we will gratify the desires of the sinful nature. But if we live by the Spirit, And the kingdom of God is manifesting because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the finger of God within us, then we will not gratify. Can we recognize the kingdom of God within us? Are we living by the Holy Spirit, or are we trying to live still in the flesh? We are children of God. We have been given Holy Spirit. We have access. It's available for us to step into the victory, the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, and to experience the life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit operating in us, enabling us to stay free from who we used to be before we got born again by the Holy Spirit. Are we recognizing? Are we experiencing this incredible life-transforming kingdom of God within us? The life of Jesus, the victory of Jesus, the authority of Jesus within us, the ability of Jesus within us, all that he has done, all who he is within us. That's the call. That's our journey. That's the Holy Spirit is opening it up for us to be able to stand in this incredible grace, and not just stand, but to be able to live in the abundance, the grace upon grace, the grace upon grace, and not just salvation grace, but living as a child of God grace, being fruitful for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he says here, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary. So if we find in our own lives that we are desiring things that are contrary to Jesus, we are not experiencing, we are not living in the reality of God's kingdom within us. Can we recognize God's kingdom because our desires are for him? And we know God's kingdom, Holy Spirit, you were working. Thank you. Worship, celebration. A new song rises up there because Holy Spirit, thank you. Before I had no desires after you, but now I've got desires for Jesus. I wanted to honor him and glorify him. That's the Holy Spirit's might. That's the kingdom. That's the evidence of the kingdom of God within us. And we are living by the Spirit in the realm of the kingdom. It's appropriating, it's applying it. And then he carries on and he says over here, they are in conflict with each other. So you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under that law anymore. That law of that power of sin that operated, we're not living that there. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are under different law, the law of the Spirit of life. And that's profound. Jesus fulfilled the total law. So the fruit, the evidence, the consequences of Christ's total obedience, that righteousness, we now experience what it is to be righteous. And to live in the fullness of participating in the sonship of our Lord Jesus Christ. John, 1 John chapter 3 is very important because God has put his seed in us. See, that word in what we looked at there in Peter, when it spoke about that we partake in his divine nature. Another word for nature is seed, DNA. Get born again, we've got God's very seed, we've got God's very DNA within us as a child of God. We live by that DNA rhythm, reality. No longer Adam's. Oh, this realm of grace sets us free from that. We enter into divine, into God's incredible heart, in God's incredible life. That's our life as children of God. Why are we struggling? Because we need to recognize God's kingdom within us, the reality, his life, his power. We need to start it by faith to receive and say, yes, your kingdom is within us. Take stock with the Holy Spirit. Look at your past. Look at your present. Be able to see, wow, God, thank you, so that your faith can rise up. You have total confidence of God because you know that was not your ability that has been changing your life. It wasn't your willpower. It wasn't your effort. It was because of grace. The life of Jesus, the freedom of Jesus, the power of the cross released by the Holy Spirit within us because we simply believed. We are mighty, privileged people, born again by the Holy Spirit, that we can enter and see the kingdom of God. Now we carry on, and he says over here, and then carries on, but the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, sexual immorality, etc., impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you as this, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Powerful. Because we're born by the Spirit. We've entered into the kingdom of God. The law, the life of the Spirit is operating. The kingdom is within us that enables us not to live like that. So if I'm living like that, then I've got to question myself. The kingdom of God is not in me. Because I'm fine. I'm still stuck to all of that stuff. And I cannot be set free. And so God says, come, enter into the kingdom, be born again by the Holy Spirit. Or maybe we're stuck in that area because we're bypassing Jesus and we're trying in our own flesh to change our lives. And the Holy Spirit is saying, come, let Jesus lift you up. Let Jesus help you to get established in Him. So that is the victory. So this is part of the growth for us as we learn now to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So he carries on, but notice this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. So the evidence of the kingdom of God within us is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So before I was powerless to have patience, now I'm finding there's a different power working within me. I'm participating in the divine nature, and I'm experiencing now I'm not as powerless as I used to be. Now I'm able to have patience, or I'm able to be able to love. I'm able. That's the fruit that you have embraced, and the kingdom of God is within you. I want to give you an example. Here we see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Let's go back to the prayer of Jesus in John 17. Jesus is praying a beautiful prayer there, and he says something profound as he's praying to his Father. He says over here, let me go verse 13. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Hey? So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Joy. Let's open that up a bit. Why do you think Jesus had so much joy? Let me read it from another translation. But now I'm returning to you. So Father, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you. So that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you so that... Sorry, I've got a phone call over here. The DA don't want to leave us alone. So that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. This delight is more than happiness. It is a complete satisfaction that comes in knowing that our lives are pleasing to the Father and that we will fulfill His desires on the earth. This is the delight that Jesus shares with us and prays that we would experience. I'm asking the Lord all the time. It's a part of my just growing in grace and getting established more in grace. So all the time it's wow moments. All the time it's just expressions of worship as the Holy Spirit just opens up more and more. So sometime just there in worship with Jesus, just again going back to how he's been working in my life. And because the kingdom, the evidence of the kingdom, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is that we have a desire after the Spirit, no longer of the flesh. And I'm there with Jesus and I'm saying, Lord, I've got such a desire just to honor you, just to glorify you. I've got such a desire just to really just be in a place where whatever I do just brings you so much honor and glory. And then Jesus said to me, you want to know how to honor me? He said, now, together, you and I, together we go to the Father and we see what the Father's will is, so that together we can do the Father's will. That's the greatest way that you will honor me, because now we can bring joy and we can bring so much joy to our Father doing his will. And that's the honor that I have. And this is what Jesus is praying over here. This joy in me is because, Father, I do your will. This joy in me is because, Father, I just know that what I'm doing, you are touching the lives of people. You are bringing about salvation. You are destroying the work of sin. And so that's what I'm doing, and going to the cross, that you can have a family again. That's the joy of doing my Father's will. So when you and I, in Christ, together, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, when you and I, with Jesus, say, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. Father, what's your will? And then when we now walk in faith and we begin to operate with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because of grace flowing through us, and we now with Jesus living the reality of no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, we start to experience this joy like we've never experienced before. So if we don't have joy, then you know, maybe we're not really involved with what the Father wants to do. We're involved in our own little agenda. And it's a bit of a joyless life. See, can you recognize the kingdom of God within you? Can you recognize this joy? Because you and Jesus, us together, the family, the body of Christ, together with our King Jesus, is coming, Father, we want to do your will today. And together, in the power of the Holy Spirit, grace flowing through Jesus, truth through Jesus, we are involved with doing what he wants to do. Whatever our mandates, operating in our gifts and callings, etc., living a life in the realm of grace, and then our Father. Can you just see yourself with Jesus? And Jesus is so blessed because his Father is so blessed. Jesus and you and I are so blessed because our Father is so blessed, because we are letting his kingdom become a reality here on earth. There's a joy. Abundant joy. The fullness of Jesus' joy to be in us. Can you see, can you recognize the kingdom of God within us? Can you recognize the Holy Spirit's fruit within us? That's the evidence of the kingdom of God within us. And that's all because of grace. Holy Spirit is in us. It's a gift from God. He's life in us. He's fruit. We're participating in his divine nature. And now as we walk with the Holy Spirit, we're staying in this area of grace. And this is all of God overriding. So in the areas of our life where we are struggling, whatever it may be, it may be what the words that we say, it may be the thoughts that we're thinking, whatever it may be. Stop. And now, Lord, I want to see your kingdom manifest in this area. Holy Spirit, your ability. I receive, Jesus, the victory that you have given. I receive, Jesus, what you have done for me. And by faith, you take hold of that. In the moment we take hold of that by faith, grace flows. Because we're not bypassing Jesus. Acknowledging what he's done, and now we start to find grace flows, the life of the Holy Spirit. What a gift God gave to us, Holy Spirit. Hey, don't know about you, but sometimes I'll hug myself because I'm hugging the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I really love you. I need you. Thank you. Because without him, life's not worth living. So we just conclude over here, where we've been looking there in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because His grace has given you in Christ Jesus. For in Jesus you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Profound. And why this morning is important, because it's a foundation to be able for us to live in the conscious awareness of Holy Spirit, so that we can start to find victory over our speech and over our understanding. We need to have this foundation. Otherwise we will try and change our speech in our own willpower. We will not manage. Because Jesus teaches us a very important that we will be judged by every word that we say. So we need Holy Spirit, we need grace to be able to have freedom in Christ. Travel light in Christ Jesus. And that's why today is important. And then next week, God willing, we will look at this next part there, how have we been enriched in all our speaking. And that will be life changing. We'll leave here free because of the blood of Jesus. So, grace be upon us. Peace. Yeah. Father, thank you for Jesus, your Son. We want to thank you for that tremendous privilege, Lord, that we can eat together just remembering you and participating in your incredible victory, the life, the freedom that we have in you. So as we eat together with you, Lord, celebrating grace that has come through you, celebrating the truth that has come through you, celebrating the incredible gift of Holy Spirit and His life within us, your power, Holy Spirit, your ability operating within us. Thank you that we can experience your kingdom within us as children of God. What a privilege, what a joy. And you're making us very conscious to be able to just take note so that we have a worship experience, because we just realize, wow, Holy Spirit, thank you. What a privilege to be able to walk with you. What a privilege to live in you, Holy Spirit. What a privilege to be able to keep in step with you, Holy Spirit, and experience that as we keep in step with you, this power of yours, this grace is being released so that it keeps us free. It keeps us free. It keeps us free from again being dominated and controlled by all the old nature that we used to participate in and the ways that we used to participate in. Lord, you've done it all. We are complete in you. There's nothing, nothing, nothing lacking. And I ask, Father, as we partake this morning, that by the Holy Spirit, you will take us into the truth of what it is to be complete in your Son, Jesus. Show us, reveal to us by revelation. Open it up, Father, and we want to thank you. Lord, thank you as you minister to us and as you lift us up, as you help us and you just really just impart into us. We want to thank you for a great time of experiencing you amongst us here to help us as your brothers and sisters. And we honor you this morning. And we give you the honor and glory as we shared about this joy. Lord, I want to thank you that you are helping the body of Christ in this nation and around the world to be able to let joy explode. The fullness of your joy becomes so, so tangible. Let the incredible reality of the Holy Spirit's incredible life grow and manifest more and more in our lives, as we are now learning how to be totally dependent on Him and stay in this grace that has come through your Son, Jesus. So we thank you for taking us out of, what can we say, religious grace, and really bringing us into the gift of your grace, helping us to taste true grace, to experience grace that comes from you and no other grace that is a counterfeit. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. And we honor you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.